Hi, this is Michael Uslan. You're listening to Batman on Film.
I'm vengeance.
I have given a name to my pain.
Kill the Bat of Gotham. I'm Batman.
Hey now, Jet here from Batman on Film. Support for the Batman on Film podcast and Batman on Film is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Champions of the world, Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped just launched their fourth-generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0. You heard that right, the 4.0. Join over 2 million men, including me, worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer just for you. For being a Batman on Film listener, 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code JETBOF. That's JETTBOF at manscaped.com. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code JETBOF at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code JETBOF. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. Hey now, welcome to episode number 38. This is the Jeff Heath edition. I cannot think of another 38, Micah, besides Jeff Heath.
He played a good role for his period of time.
Roy Williams wore 38 for a second when he was drafted by the Cowboys, and he was 31 for all his career. But
I was about to say, all I remember is 31. I remember him. Ice in that game against the Eagles way back in the day.
He was 38 when he came in, but I don't think he ever wore it in a regular season game. He was 31.
Oh. Anyway. This is like Diggs too. Like Diggs was 27 for 1 year. Now he's going to be seven.
Yes. So. Yes. A bunch of number switches this year. And then they let I'm on a tangent now. They let the linebackers linebackers can wear single digits and team numbers and stuff like that. So they shouldn't have let Jalen Smith wear 9, Micah Ramey. They should not have.
It kind of sucks that he paid all that money to swap that. You have to buy out your jerseys, which is so weird. Yeah. And he ended up getting cut, unfortunately. Whatever. And he also got cut by the Packers. So.
Yes.
All right. Best of luck to him.
So I'll go on another tangent. The Cowboys do play today. We're recording Sunday morning. It is November the 7th, 2021. And
this could be a tale of two Bills because we are all smiles right now. We'll check back in with you in about 12 hours and see.
in about 6 hours, sir. And then we'll know how kind of mood I'm going to be in for the rest of the week. They should play in the Broncos. They should win. And I hope they win so I can continue this role of good moodness around here. But they're having a good season in it regardless. Pretty good team this year. I'm happy. Reminds me of the 90s teams. It does. That's the first time I don't say that very often, but this reminds me of that 90s team.
It's 90
teams. Now this is what it felt like. It reminds me of the 92 team specifically. So anyway, this is Batman on Film, Social Hour, number 38. Mentioned Jeff Heath again. And with me today is senior BF contributor Ryan Lauer. How you doing, Ryan?
Good morning. Doing good, fighting this flu, but I'm also becoming victorious like them Cowboys. So I'm going to be all right.
Okay. And also is the founder of Colony Broadcasting, Micah Ramey, and also BF contributor himself, and my son. Micah, how are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on the show. If Ryan is a senior contributor, does that make me a minor contributor? What exactly is my role in that?
There is what, three senior contributors?
Four.
Okay. They just do a whole heck of a lot.
Mijas, Pete, Garrett. Here we go.
Yeah, I'm not there yet. Yeah. Definitely not there yet.
They do a lot of they do a lot of stuff for Batman on film. So that's just my appreciation, right? So
that's right. Yes. And you're definitely higher ranking, if I may say so, for Bill, higher ranking than Dick Shoes. So
well, of course, yeah. I
shouldn't
yeah.
take much.
So
yeah. I didn't think that was a conversation, honestly.
It's on the record now.
All right, we're gonna, before we get off on too many tangents here, I will say I got a plug, because we're going to talk about the Batman, and we're going to talk about the specifically about the new trailer, not the new trailer, but the new synopsis that came out last week for the film. But Micah did a breakdown of the trailer when it came out a few weeks ago, and it was really, really good. And he's also doing the going through Pattinson's films post Twilight. So those have been performing pretty good for you on your channel, right, Micah?
Yeah, they're doing pretty good. I think people are very excited to see the Batman. And I think the general audience is kind of coming around on Robert Pattinson a little bit more, especially with his performance alone in the trailer. But, you know, just looking at, recently he's kind of done some big films. Like, maybe this guy is different. So
here's how it'll work. It went from the guy from Twilight, the sparkly vampire in Twilight films. He sucks. No, hell no. And then they'll see the movie. Then they saw the first trailer and it started going, well, that doesn't look too bad. Then they saw the second trailer. Well, that looks pretty good. And once it comes out, it'll be, he's the greatest Batman ever. And they'll completely forget about Bale and everyone else and Michael Keaton. But that's how it usually works. See Heath Ledger as the Joker. Michael Keaton as Batman. That's always the way it works. All right. So let's get right to it. I wanted to have you two on specifically because y'all did a show on Brian's Batman Book Club talking about Batman Ego. And when I read the synopsis of for the Batman, this new one, it says, I mean, it just reeked of Ego, and I want to know what y'all thought about it. So I'm going to read it in little chunks, and then we'll talk about it. And it starts off saying, the Batman is an edgy, action-packed thriller that depicts Batman in his early years, struggling to balance rage with righteousness as he investigates a disturbing mystery that has terrorized Gotham. So, Michael, I know we're reading a lot into just a synopsis, but we got to have some thoughts about it. So anything there that stands out to you or is points to a specific plot point or way they're going to go with the film?
No, yeah, I definitely saw a lot of Ego when I read that synopsis as well. And I just want to thank Ryan again for having me on the Batman Book Club. That was awesome. I re-listened to that episode multiple times. I think it's fantastic. And anytime I read a Batman book, I go back and watch your videos. So I may not be keeping up with the weekly episodes, Ryan, but I definitely watch. I go after I'm done, like, just for feedback. But getting back to the synopsis, I think the main thing that stands out to me is struggling to balance rage with righteousness. That's kind of like one of the main plot points of Ego, is Batman and Bruce Wayne actually having a conversation, and he may be going a little bit too far. And obviously in the trailer, all you see is rage. You know, I don't think you see any amount of righteousness at all, which they're holding that off, obviously, for us to see in the film. So we'll get to see that play out. I really liked his description. Most descriptions for films are very basic. But I feel like this kind of tells you a lot what we're going to see, and it's just very exciting. It's a lot of what I think we were all expecting, and I'm excited to see him balance his faults.
Yes. So, Ryan, disturbing mystery. What's the disturbing mystery? Is it the Riddler serial killer deal? It looks like they're letting on. It's like the Riddler is the main villain, and he's setting all this up, and it gets to in the last sentence about a ruthless serial killer that we'll talk about in a second. So, but could there be more than, it's got to be more than just that. I mean, they're not giving away everything, right?
I think we're led to believe is if the Riddler is the prime villain, the big deal here. But I mean, he even says in the trailer of it's a powder keg and the Riddler's a match. And so to me, that makes me think, oh, the Riddler is the big domino that gets everything fallen, you know. And I don't want to know. I hope that none of us know anything until we're sitting in a theater and watching. But I'd be like, a disturbing mystery is going to kind of shake the foundation of Gotham somehow. Like, otherwise, what could have such a drastic effect of being, you know, disturbing? So that's kind of where my head's spinning, or going toward, you know, and that's really exciting and intriguing to me, which is weird to say that something disturbing is exciting, but you know what I mean? Yes. Or as Micah said on that episode of the Batman Book Club, if you know, you know, you know.
Yes. And I know Micah's brought this up with me before, and I'm just throwing it out there. I don't know anything. I mean, if there is something more than just the Riddler, could it be Court of Owls mixed into this somehow, you know, and in within the, you know, within the, just this, you know, like in Scott Snyder stuff, is there this mysterious organization of rich folk who have run Gotham to a certain degree for years and years and years. So any thoughts on maybe Court of Owls being a part of this, or something that, like Court of Owls?
That almost seems too obvious.
Yes.
I think.
Yeah.
And it's because it definitely makes it the most sense. I have a guess. I don't have any idea why, but I have a guess based on, like, when I've looked at the IMDb page of some people that have been cast in roles and stuff. And I don't want to say it because I don't want to go down like some, I don't know, weird rabbit hole, but yeah, like, I don't know that I think it would be Court of Owls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Micah, what do you think? Court of Owls or something else?
I think it's something, it's either Court of Owls or something very similar. Obviously, Matt Reeves has talked about like the deeper levels of corruption in Gotham. But then on that first teaser trailer, you see the, it's like a birthday card almost, like a greeting card, and you see the owl. And I think that's like what a lot of people, you know, are like, oh, it obviously has to be Court of Owls. So I'm not sure if it is that, but I do think the line that Ryan brought up is that, you know, this is a powder keg and Riddler is the match. I talked about that in the trailer breakdown too, that I think Riddler is obviously not like this inherently horrible person. I think he's taken out very specific people, not just, you know, random people. As you saw in that first teaser, like he killed someone important enough that Bruce Wayne had to show up to the funeral.
Yeah.
And he's taken out very high level Gotham people. So it kind of leads to like, there's this weird secret society, maybe, or like this overarching level of corruption. These people are kind of in like a cahoots with each other. And then he also says at the end of the first teaser, to Bruce, you're a part of this too.
Mm-hmm.
So that may tie into that disturbing mystery. Like, it is disturbing not only to, you know, the citizens of Gotham, but especially to Batman Bruce Wayne, that his family actually were involved with this in some way.
I'm with you.
I think a good relation too is the strengths of some of Batman's rogues are they're like a black mirror of him, to where if he went down this path like this way, he would be like Two-Face. If he went down this path this way, he could be like the Riddler. And I think that could definitely have a good impact and connection on the movie of like the Riddler. Maybe his targeting, his overall goal isn't necessarily wrong. It's the way he's doing it that's wrong. So if he's exposing some kind of corruption, that's what Batman would need and want to do also. But it's like the Riddler is taking it four steps too far. So I think that if that's the way that it's going, like Michael's just saying, with, you know, Riddler and corruption and stuff, like Bruce or Batman wants that goal too. It's just, he's like, damn, the Riddler, he can't be killing people. That's not the right way. And maybe that, you know, is part of his internal struggle.
Well, clearly he doesn't see that in the beginning or this, he's in his second year. He's not seeing that in his first year. Alfred is counseling him. You know, he says in the trailer, I don't care what happens to me. You see him as Batman, just almost. I think Michael brought this up to me also. It's like, he doesn't care. He doesn't care what happens to him. Literally, like, he's almost on a suicide mission. And mm-hmm. you know, not that he's out to, he's, you know, he's not, it's not like you know, suicide by police or some of that kind of that kind of stuff. It's like, if he goes out doing this, then he goes out doing that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so and he doesn't care. At some point he's going to care, because there's no difference. It's like there's no separation between Bruce Wayne and Batman. In the Batman, it looks to me. In fact, I think we're going to see more Batman than we see Bruce Wayne in this film, literally. I mean, even if he's not in the daggum yeah. suit, you know? So, thoughts.
That's weird, because for most, like, you know, this technically is kind of an origin film for this Batman. You know, I think Matt Reeves said they're going to touch on his origins, and it's going to be an origin for this story. But for most beginning films, you don't see, you know, you're always waiting to see the guy transform into the superhero. Like, you see most of, you know, in Batman Begins, we saw a ton of Bruce Wayne before we finally saw the suit. And that moment was so rewarding in that, what is it, like that cargo area when he takes Falcone, a super badass scene. And I'm thinking the same with like Captain America and Steve Rogers. It takes a while to finally see Captain America. And this one is going to be a really different take, because you're going to see Batman a lot. Mm-hmm. And Bruce Wayne's going to be that thing I think the audience is kind of going to be expecting to see, you know, him actually transform back into what he's supposed to be, because there's no differentiation. He's unable to, like you said, differentiate between Batman and Bruce Wayne, which is kind of another thing that Matt Reeves is doing that's a lot different than anything you've ever seen.
I think kind that, of the, yeah. Yeah, they have fans complain about, I mean, the smallest things like his hair as Bruce Wayne. That's deliberate. There's that, you know, he wears his, it's not like that Robert Pattinson came in and said, I'm going to wear my hair long and combed down, almost hanging in my eyes. That's how Matt Reeves wants Bruce Wayne to look. And he's not super, you know, super dressed up either. You know, he's not, I don't think that public Bruce Wayne exists yet. And he's just all in Batman mode, and everything he's doing is trying to figure out what the hell's going on, even when he's Bruce Wayne. And he must have some sort of, you know, it's not Matches Malone, but there's some kind of, you know, Bruce Wayne in disguise, but not Batman out there doing detective work. Watching what the hell's going on, you know. During the day and like or
daytime
whatever.
Batman.
Yes, absolutely. So, let me get to this next part of it here. Said Robert Pattinson delivers a raw, intense portrayal of Batman. That got a lot of reaction. A raw, intense portrayal of Batman. You can see that in the trailer. He's pretty raw and intense, isn't he?
Yeah.
Because I mean,
putting it lightly.
Yeah, I mean. He's angry and he's full of rage. So that's I mean, they nailed that. And this was a great part. It goes on to say, Robert Pattinson delivers a raw and intense portrayal of Batman as a disillusioned, desperate vigilante, awakened by the realization that the anger consuming him makes him no better than the ruthless serial killer that he's hunting. So yeah, he's completely lost. It's almost like, what was it in Batman Begins, y'all, that Alfred says you're getting lost in this monster, and Bruce says
it begins.
And the difference is by the time Begins happens in the Dark Knight trilogy, he's not fully formed Batman yet, but Bruce Wayne's got his priorities in order, you know. He's got his priorities in order. He knows it, and he's not getting lost. Alfred's afraid of him getting lost in it, but he's not. You know, he's not going to. He's got the three parts down: Batman, Bruce, the real Bruce Wayne, and then public Bruce Wayne with help from Alfred in Batman Begins. And that's what we talked about. This one, he hadn't figured any of that out yet. He's just he became Batman, and he hadn't figured it out yet. So, any thoughts on that stuff, Ryan?
It's going to be an interesting approach for sure, where, you know, like you just referenced Begins, in just like a difference of a film, not that one will be better than the other. He's figuring out that separation in Begins a little bit, but he's got a lot of it still figured out. We're seeing a lot of Bruce Wayne in public Bruce Wayne, and then we're seeing a lot of Batman in the back half of the film and mix. And here, I think that that's just a really interesting approach that Reeves is going to have, that I wouldn't be surprised if the movie opens up with Batman beating the beating the shit out of out of people or something, and we're getting introduced to this raw, intense Batman, and then even, doesn't let up.
In the second trailer, Ron, Catwoman, Zoe Kravitz,
the reaction shot of her is good.
It's her reaction to, of him pounding someone, you know, it's like, okay, you're that's too much, you know.
Mm-hmm. In so, which we we saw that at the Fandom trailer, the the one guy that he takes out, and it's just like the guy is down, and then it's still boom, 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 and it to where it is a bit like, whoa, maybe a little too much. He got the point, so that'll be pretty interesting, I think. That we just like we dive right in to this version of Batman where he's already a little beyond where he needs to be. No pun intended.
Micah, what you got?
No, I think Ryan nailed it right there. I keep thinking about origin, and it's not just, you know, him, you know, learning how to, you're not going to see him travel the world or however that, whatever the origin ends up being, but it's the origin of figuring out how to be Batman. How am I going to balance this? And that's, you know, where we see the ego. And I really like the line, a disillusioned, desperate vigilante. And I'm wondering what he's going to do in the film that leads to desperation, or what he may do will lead him down a path of desperation to do anything. And then awakened, this is what we haven't seen yet in the trailers, awakened by the realization that the anger consuming him makes him no better than the ruthless serial killer he's hunting. So that leads me back into where, you know, Riddler may not be inherently evil. He has a reason of why he's doing these things. And he's just kind of toying with Batman until he finally figures it out himself. But I'm so excited to see that awakening in the film, in like the later half of him finally learning, like, okay, I'm going too far. I need to figure this out.
Matt Reeves has said that Bruce Wayne goes on a journey in this film, and it's an emotional journey. And I think part of what's going to be awesome about the Batman is that the audience is going to go on that journey with him. And we're going to be like, that's a little bit too much there, Batman. You know, Batman really, he doesn't take it that far. And then we were rooting for him to become the hero, the fully formed Batman that we know and that we all love as for the character. So I just thought it was, the whole synopsis was great. And it tells a lot, I think, about the film, but there's so much about this that we don't know. We don't, there's more than just the Riddler. There's, you know, we haven't even seen Falcone yet in a trailer, where he fits in the movie. What's the Penguin that he's, Reeves has mentioned the Penguin's not fully formed yet. So could he be a character? Do y'all think he could be like the Scarecrow in the Dark Knight trilogy who shows up in each film? You know, he's not like the main bad guy in the film, but it's kind of like the connective tissue between the movies, because I think Colin Farrell and they said it's a small role here. I think he's a big enough actor that where we'll see the Penguin pass the Batman. Any thoughts on that?
I hope so. I would hope that if we do get a Reeves trilogy, that in the second and third movies, like just like some of the, you know, the great Batman entertainment we've had, we're getting this Gotham world. So we're getting rogues, you know, repeated viewings, the second and third movie, to where Penguin is one that we'll see. Catwoman we'll see multiple times. Maybe the Riddler is going to, you know, show up somehow in the second one, as does Penguin and Catwoman and a new villain. And all of them in the third one with a new villain. Just, I don't, that would be really, really cool and different than anything that's come before too. Is that we're seeing all of these villains in multiple movies. So I hope so.
Well, yeah, he said a rogues gallery exists already, you know. I'm sure it'll grow, you know, past the Batman and in other films. So I was really just, I was kind of fascinated by the description. If you know Ego, it screams Ego. it talks a little bit about, I mean, it hints at like the Long Halloween influence with, you know, the fact that he's hunting a ruthless serial killer. It even hints at the year one type vibe of Batman is in early in his career. You know, he's in year two, actually. Reeves has said that. So that's...
Can I ask you two a question?
Sure.
Do you, for each of you, do you think that we're going to get flashbacks of some kind to where we do see a Thomas and Martha Wayne? And they're keeping that casting under wraps?
Michael, what do you think?
You know, I thought about that too when I actually reread Ego this morning. And the flashbacks in that novel where you see Thomas Wayne, you know, treating that person when Bruce is in the car and he runs inside and he and Thomas Wayne couldn't save that person and they died, and they talk about life and death and how that connects to them eventually dying. And I think, you know, I would like to see something like that, like a flashback, if it does happen, a flashback to something different, not just the gun, the pearl necklace, the alleyway. Like, we all know that. I would like to see something different. Like, I think some of the best scenes in Batman Begins where Thomas Wayne was, you know, he had the stethoscope, mm-hmm. and he was holding it to Bruce. Those are like the best scenes, the fatherly scenes. I would, you know, like one timeline film, like we'll watch it from the beginning to the end and just references maybe to the past, but I wouldn't mind it. I think it'd be interesting, especially if, I mean, Matt Reeves is all about doing new things. So I don't think he's going to, you know, walk down those paths
again. I'm on board. I don't think we'll see the Wayne murders again. I mean, we saw it in Batman 89. We saw it in Batman Forever. We saw it in Batman
v
Superman and Joker, even Joker. Let me ask it. I mean, off track a little bit here. I got a question for our BOF mailbag I'm doing. And someone brought up this long, you can probably read it because it's from the Facebook group. It's this long comparison between Joker and the Batman. And is the Batman a sequel to the Joker? And I was like, no. I mean, you don't think there's any stretch, any way possible that they tie that in. I'm like, no, that they're not. But I don't know.
I mean,
I just don't know what. I mean, he gave some reasons why, but I don't see why people immediately assume or want it to be part of the same deal just because they're not part of the connected DC films, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not a gambling man, but if I had to bet, I'd bet that they will not be connected.
I would say that if the Joker shows up in a Matt Reeves Batman film, Matt Reeves will cast the person he wants to play the Joker and not have Todd Phillips' version of that universe and that character shoehorned in.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
I thought about that for a second. All right. So,
yeah. You know, if I say something real quick, I have one question first, because that kind of ties into a question, like one question I had.
Yes.
I can see how enticing having Joaquin Phoenix's Joker and Robert Pattinson battle, but I don't know. That Joker doesn't really seem primed to take on a Batman. It just didn't work for me. I don't think, like Ryan says, I'm not really a betting guy, unless it has something to do with football. But I would not say they're connected. But, you know, with Ego, Joker kind of played, he wasn't a huge part of the comic, but I think he did play a huge role because, I mean, at the beginning with Buster Scruggs, him killing himself, he did it because of the Joker, and a lot of what the Joker does makes Batman really think, like, should I kill? Should I cross this line? So do you think I think we will see the Joker maybe in the sequel or in the third film. Do you think will Matt Reeves will revisit a lot of the Ego stuff with the Joker, or how do you think he'll handle that?
Man, Ryan, take that.
That could be a good thing to bring it around full circle. Because I think, as we discussed with Ego, that is almost like a, I think I made the comparison, the Ouroboros, which is the snake eating its own tail. I feel like that right there is this guy kills himself because of the Joker, because of Batman, because of this guy killing himself. Like, it just keeps going in a circle. And I think that would be really interesting as a way for Reeves to bring a trilogy full circle is that that is an issue for Batman. And it's always, I think those are always fascinating stories too. I love, we jump into a world where Batman just is, and this is just another mission of him kicking ass and taking down a villain and then end of story. Those are great. But this too would be such one of his, you know, the whole, are these villains crazy? So I had to become a bat, or because I became a bat, these people got crazy. Like that's always a good dynamic, I think. And I think that's definitely relative there and could be really, I mean, I think if Reeves brings in a Joker, I think he's going to be a scary ass Joker. Just by what we've seen so far.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have nothing to add. I agree. I think they're all, I think Reeves' films will be connected, you know, and I think they'll overlap and have plot threads that are interwoven. I think things will come full circle in the finale. I'm just excited now to finally get to the Batman here in what, 4 months? We're 4 months away?
Under 4 months.
All right, awesome. So,
Whoa, Bill.
Hey, last question for y'all. We got merchandise coming out. Ryan's already got the Lego stuff.
I've got some Legos covered,
You put it together, right?
I put together the Batman Selina Kyle chase. I have the Penguin Batmobile chase that I have not put together yet.
Okay.
And the Selina and Batman chase comes with its own little bat signal that glows in the dark.
Okay, nice.
So that's pretty fun.
what's the construction time on the Bat Selina bicycle?
Motorcycle.
Half
hour, maybe. Okay. It was pretty simple, pretty quick. And his bike definitely felt a little tumbler-ish. Hers doesn't stand up very well.
Okay.
It pops on the side.
All right.
So
wait, my point is, merchandise is coming out. We've seen TV spots already. We've got the second trailer. We know that more merchandise will be coming out as we get closer and closer. Do we need anything else? Do you need to see anything else? Does the general audience need to see anything else? Yeah.
No.
Other than just TV spots cut from what we've already seen. You know what I mean?
They need TV spots, and then we definitely need that Mountain Dew tie-in.
Wasn't there a Mountain Dew tie-in for Rises?
There sure was. Yeah. Okay. They even had like the coolers or whatever that are open, and you know they have drinks. Yeah. And there was a Batman one connected. Okay. Like,
all right, cool.
Bale's Batman connected to that. Give me those in every gas station. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. Only thing I'd like, and I've said it several times, when the Cowboys are in the Super Bowl
yeah.
in February, I'd like to see that would just be my fandom worlds colliding together completely. I think it's the Super Bowl this year is like 2 weeks before the Batman hits. And I've said this many times. I can't, it's not like it's in June or July. It's like literally 2 weeks away after the Super Bowl. Because Super Bowl is later because they have a 17-week season this year. The playoffs are longer and whatever. I just think they've already put it on NFL games. I don't know if it's showed up on like World Series or anything. Like of course, hardly anybody watched the World Series, but whatever. But Super Bowl, yes, you have this huge audience that's right there 2 weeks away. That's got to be the perfect spot, no pun intended, to place that ad for the Batman.
You've got a new era that you've got to sell. Like, this is a new launching point. I think you definitely go heavy in marketing, and you spend on that on that spot at the Super Bowl for the Batman.
Yeah. Micah?
No, I definitely think the release date of the film is intentional, 2 weeks after the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But you know, obviously I'm a huge Cowboys fan as well. I tell my friends a lot, like, this has never been a better time for me. Being a Cowboys fan and a Batman fan, I'm getting a new Batman trilogy, and the Cowboys are actually good for the first time in my life. Like, actually good. You know, it seemed good in the regular season, and then you get to the playoffs and it's a different team shows up, but it seems like a great team. This seems like a great film. So if the Cowboys go to the Super Bowl and win it, and I get to see the Batman, and that's a 2-week time frame, I don't know if if life can really get better than that, honestly.
You will peak at your young age.
That'll be the peak. I don't think it'll get any better than that. That'll be pretty awesome.
So. All right, we'll go out with that. So, Ryan, go ahead and plug whatever. And make sure you plug. We're going to do Gotham by Gaslight, right?
We sure are. Yeah. On the Batman Book Club in December, Bill's going to make his glorious return to the show. And we're going to talk Gotham by Gaslight. Coming up next is going to be Under the Hood, talking about that book and the animated movie, which would be fun. The Batman Book Club, found wherever you get your podcasts, or follow on Twitter at the Batman BC. Also, I have a bunch of stuff on BOF proper. Coming up next there is going to be review for Batman the Imposter number 2, linked to the Batman because it's written by Mattson Tomlin, who has a story credit with Matt Reeves on the Batman. First issue was awesome. I haven't read the second one yet. I'm sure it's probably awesome for how good that first that issue one. Was. Yeah. Second issue just as good.
It's better. It's getting better.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Cool. As far as that and other reviews, and also interviews with Lee Bermejo and Long Halloween film writer Tim Sheridan, all on BOF. Check it out.
Micah shot me a picture. He had bought, Ryan, you're going to like this. He picked up Batman the Long Halloween Special and issue number 1 of Batman the Imposter. Have you read either one of them yet?
I have not read them yet, but me and some of my buddies, we have a quarterly, we literally call it the quarterly comic book visit, our shop in Annapolis, Maryland. So we head up there and grab whatever we've been missing. And I've been meaning to get the Long Halloween Special since it's been out. So it's a good time to read it.
Oh, buddy. Whew.
Yeah.
What a treat. Ryan, what a treat.
Yeah. And I didn't want to read your review because I wanted to save a lot of that, you know, for me reading it, but I couldn't help it. And I read it and it seems fantastic. I'm excited to get into it. I read it this week.
All right, Micah, go ahead and plug whatever you'd like, please.
You can just find me on YouTube on Colin A. Broadcasting. I do a lot of things that aren't strictly BOF related, but if you want to, you know, you want to watch more Batman related things, I am doing a series of Robert Pattinson videos. The next one will be The Rover. I already did one on Cosmopolis, a very, very strange film. Wouldn't recommend it to everyone, but if you are interested in seeing Robert Pattinson, as the fans are calling him, his acting journey and evolution, I recommend it. But yeah, on YouTube.
What's weirder, Cosmopolis or The Lighthouse?
I would say they're both. The Lighthouse is definitely more weird, but it's like more my kind of weird. I think that film's a masterpiece.
Because I've seen The Lighthouse. I haven't seen Cosmopolis, so I'll have to check it out. I watched the thing twice. So I'm gonna check that movie out for sure. All right. So you can just follow all of my stuff. Just find it on Batman on Film. That's Patreon, T Public, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, whatever. And also I must got a sponsor. I gotta point out our sponsor, shout out, support for Batman on Film is brought to you by Manscaped, the best men's below the waist grooming champions of the world. They're the champions of the world in that. Manscaped just launched their fourth generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0. You heard that right, the 4.0. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer just for you for listening to this podcast. You get 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code JETBOF, JETTBOF. At manscaped.com. So go there, tell them Batman on Film, Team Batman on Film sent you. And with that, for Micah and Ryan, I'm Bill. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Batman on Film Social Hour, Jet's official BOF podcast and vlog. Follow Jet on Twitter at Batman on Film. For BOF news only on Twitter, follow at the Batman on Film. For Jet and everyone at BOF, I'm announcer Rachel. Authoritative, definitive, the original, Batman on Film.